It's going down. Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of What's Going Down here on Patreon. My name is Kenny, his name is Finn, and we're here to talk about what's going on in the world of pro wrestling, specifically WWE. So Finn, we're here to tackle the latest happenings, of which there are many. So we should probably just dive right in, right?
We probably should just dive right in, Kenny. I've got my goggles on. I'm ready.
You are ready. So let's kick off with last week's SmackDown. You know, we kind of knew that Roman Reigns was not going to be in the show, so we kind of figured, you know, what are we going to get from the Bloodline? What are we going to see from them? So I guess let's kick off with that, because we had... There was stuff with Cody Rhodes and his title, which we will get to, but the whole Bloodline portion was that, Solo Sikoa comes out with Paul Heyman and Jimmy Uso. And then Heyman talks about Roman Reigns has ordered the Bloodline accept accountability for what happened at WrestleMania 40. And, you know, Heyman kind of puts over everybody that was involved in the match, but then said that Roman would rise like an ashes, rise from the ashes like a phoenix. But then Solo stops him and said, you know, so winning and losing has consequences, right? And losing requires change. So then Solo offers Jimmy Uso a hug, says he loves him, and then Jimmy is jumped from behind by the newest member of the Bloodline, Tama Tonga, who then is attacked along with Solo. He's giving him some more spikes to Jimmy. Heyman goes to pick up the phone to call Roman Reigns, and Solo grabs the phone, throws it on the floor, and stomps on it. Then Solo and Tama Tonga get a chair. They batter Jimmy with a chair. Solo tells Jimmy he loves him again before doing a final hip attack with a chair, and then they leave. Paul Heyman's kind of the forced valet, but, you know, in a different way. What did you make of this as the follow-up? Did it fill you with intriguing possibilities for what the Bloodline could do in this kind of new stage?
I mean, maybe. I mean, you've got to give it time. I mean, there's a couple of other elements to this that I should mention. I mean, Heyman was shocked because he was not aware that this attack had been ordered by the tribal chief. So that was what shocked Heyman as much as anything.
And I guess the Easter egg to that is that Solo says this attack has been ordered by the tribal chief, but he did not say that the tribal chief was Roman Reigns.
Exactly. So it is possible that now Solo Sikoa has assumed, you know, leadership of the Bloodline, and he considers himself to be the tribal chief because Roman Reigns lost at WrestleMania. They kept mentioning that the winning and losing has consequences. Earlier on the show, Solo, Heyman and Jimmy walked past their old dressing room, which had a Cody Rhodes name and neck tattoo logo on the door. And they were like shocked. He's like, oh, you know, what's this? You know, our dressing room now belongs to the man who beat Roman Reigns, and Kevin Owens went in there. So there was a real come down feeling there that... oh, you know, what's happened? You know, the status quo has changed and we're the big losers in this situation. So, yeah, I mean, that was it. I mean, they didn't actually mention it was Roman Reigns who'd ordered this attack, but, you know, it was ambiguous, wasn't it? It could have been Roman Reigns who ordered the attack, or maybe it wasn't. But, I mean, I figured, Kenny, after WrestleMania, actually, I think I predicted that Jimmy and Jay might actually reconcile, reunite at WrestleMania. They didn't do so, but it now seems inevitable that they will. And Jay was asked about the attack on Raw, and he said, well, I told him to come with me. So you could see he was disappointed that this had happened. Maybe even felt, you know, a modicum of sympathy for his twin brother, you know, that this happened to him. And Jay, you know, almost was resigned to, well, this was going to be the outcome, He should have come with me in the first place. So I think this is going to lead to a reunion at some point of Jay and Jimmy, which I think is the right move for those two, particularly Jimmy, right, Kenny?
Jeez, you're not kidding. I mean, I just hope that the reunion is handled better than the feud, because the feud was piss poor.
Yes, it
That
did
is.
not exactly. It was not exactly like Blockbuster, was it? There was not fireworks going off
No,
when
it's.
these two collided at WrestleMania. Oh, really? I mean, most of the setup for it wasn't that memorable either, was it?
Yeah, it wasn't memorable at all. There was not one segment in the lead up that was effective or exciting. And the match itself, I mean, very rarely do you get a kind of consensus between everybody that a match was not good, but that match was the one. I've not heard one person defend that match at WrestleMania.
No,
And that's.
I don't see how you could. I mean, there was nothing about it that you would want to say. I mean, I remember when we did the review last week, I said, well, actually, the Jimmy J scuffle during the main event of WrestleMania Sunday and the fall through the off the ramp through the tables was more memorable than the match on Saturday evening. So, yeah, I mean, it's the right move for Jimmy, probably the right move for Jay as well. I mean, it's hard to believe that Jay's going to become champion at Backlash, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, but then, maybe the whole story of, because what, I mean, what I would do if I was just putting a booking hat on for a second is I think you have Jimmy try to reconcile with Jay and have Jay turn him down. He has to turn him down at
Yeah.
first. And
Yes.
then, if Jay so is kind of embroiled in a rivalry with the Judgment Day and he needs some help, you could build up. And I know they did a very similar storyline with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn when Kevin Owens wouldn't accept Sami, but it then made their partnership so much better that KO wasn't just an idiot who accepted Sammy back into the fold. So I think you need something of that ilk to make this.
Needs to be a gradual thing, doesn't it?
100%.
And Jimmy's got some making up to do. Atonement, that's the word.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, Jimmy's got a road to travel before Jay can trust him again. So, there needs to be a series of events before Jay, they have the big hug and, they're back together as a team. So, yeah, and, that's a story that can be really good if it's told well, as you said. As you said, it needs to be better than the split last year and basically everything that happened between them up to and including WrestleMania Saturday.
I mean, it is strange because a lot of the stuff that happened in the second half of the year was really good creatively. So the Jimmy and Jay thing is kind of like this big anomaly that it was kind of this upper card thing that wasn't really given much attention. But we'll see how it all plays out. What do you
I mean,
make of Tana
as you
Cox?
said many times, Kenny, they never gave us a satisfactory explanation for why Jimmy turned on Jay at SummerSlam, did they?
No, and we're looking at a lot of the stuff people have talked about in the last couple of months that they've really liked are the kind of Easter eggs that sometimes turn into something, sometimes don't. Like when we saw Drew McIntyre and Paul Heyman having a chat earlier in March on Raw, like stuff like that, you could be like, oh, is that going to mean something? And it turned out it was just them having a chat, but there's things that you can place and have as little Easter eggs and little things that that's what people want to see. So, last thing I'll ask you about Tama Tonga, thoughts on him and the bloodline, thoughts on his potential or not, or lack of, whatever you think.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's been on their radar for a long time and he'd, been a player for New Japan for ages, for years. So, I mean, I think it was probably the right time for him to come in. Yeah, I mean, it fits with the storyline and we imagine it's going to be Solo and Tama Tonga versus Jimmy and Jay at some point. And I think there will be a lot of interest in that because people want to cheer Jay and Jimmy as a team. And also Haku was referenced, wasn't he, during the Paul Heyman speech at the Hall of Fame ceremony. So I suppose he's not really a big surprise that his son is now on the team. So yeah, I think it's a good move for him. And I don't think there was a whole lot else for Tama Tonga to do in New Japan. And this is a whole new story for him. Okay, it's part of a well-worn story that we know. But this is a big gig. There's a lot of money to be made in WWE if you get over. And yeah, I mean, let's see what happens, Kenny. I mean, it's up to him, isn't it, really? He's experienced, he knows what he's doing, and this should work, especially against Jimmy and Jay, who are a great team.
So Cody Rhodes opened the show on SmackDown where he talks about, he'll be waiting for when Rock returns, and he talks about how tonight there's going to be two triple threat matches to determine two people to face off next week, and the winner would face him at Backlash in France. And he, just does a kind of pretty standard opening promo. It's fine, but I mean, people maybe expected more, but he was just there to kind of set things up. And he set up these two matches, which were Bobby Lashley, LA Knight, and Santos Escobar, which was won by LA Knight. And then the main event, which was Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and AJ Styles, was won by AJ. So it's going to be LA Knight and AJ Styles in a WrestleMania rematch next week, or this week, shall I say. And the winner goes on to face Cody at Backlash. What did you make of the triple threat matches?
I thought they were, I thought they were well done for what they were. I mean, Angel and Humberto assisted Santos by attacking Knight and Lashley. Then the Street Profits made the save for Bobby Lashley. And in the end, Knight pinned Escobar with the BFT after Lashley had basically missed a charge and hit the post. So Lashley was protected on the pin. And now it looks like it's going to be Lashley and the Street Profits versus Santos and his crew, which, has got to be an improvement on the Final Testament, who are now, as we know, in NXT. I mean, I think Knight was the right choice there. And AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio in the main event. I mean, Styles ended up pinning Mysterio after he'd hit an Avalanche Styles Clash on Rey onto Owens. So, that was sort of unexpected. I thought Owens might be the one to do the job, but instead it was Ray. And then afterwards, LA Knight confronted AJ Styles in the ring. And I mean, you sort of imagine it's going to be Styles who wins that one because Knight versus Cody, I mean, probably Cody will be more popular, but you never know, do you? And that's a match, Backlash. That's Cody's first premium live event as champ, and you want to make sure people are reacting the right way to it, don't you?
Yeah, and I mean, when AJ Styles first came into WWE, remember he was Roman's first challenger at those pay-per-views right after WrestleMania 32. So he's been in that position before. AJ's been in that position before. I think it's, to me, Cody and AJ feels better than Knight and Cody, just because I don't know if you really want to put. I just don't think you'd want to put Cody in there with someone who's really popular. I think.
No, I can't imagine they will do that. It doesn't make any sense. And like, you can have Styles win and someone can cost LA Knight the match. I'm not sure who Knight's going to wrestle next. So, obviously he's going to have this match with Styles and presumably that'll be the end of their feud this Friday on SmackDown because then Styles, if our assumption is correct, will go on to then face Cody. And Knight will face whomever he's going to wrestle next. And Styles, Styles Cody, it'll be a really good match. Styles has been in this position many times. He knows exactly how to put people over. He's somebody who's got credibility, even though he's lost a lot of matches. And he's somebody who's as a B show premium, B premium live event headliner. He fits the bill, doesn't he? In the B show challenger role. AJ Styles fits the bill perfectly.
And then the last thing from SmackDown I wanted to ask you about was we did have Bayley coming out as the new champ, and lots of You Deserve It chants, and she was interrupted by Tiffany Stratton, who said that she wants to face her, but then Bayley sort of said, she wants to face Naomi. And this brings out Naomi, which gives us a Naomi and Tiffany match here that Naomi wins. So Naomi's going to be facing Becky, but not Becky, Bayley next week. On SmackDown. What did you make of the setup here and the match?
I mean, I like the fact that Bayley was cheered by the audience. There's a lot of love there for You Deserve a Chance, as you said. She felt like a champion and she felt like she deserved to be in this spot. It was no surprise that Tiffany Stratton would come out to confront her. And she said to Bayley, I assume there's going to be some type of open challenge. And Bayley said, well, actually, I was going to offer to defend the championship against Naomi. And then that led to Naomi coming out. And then Naomi faced Tiffany Stratton. And yeah, I mean, the match was okay, but it seemed to me like Naomi was calling it, and there was a few pauses. There was a few spots in the match where it just wasn't flowing in a really professional sort of A-list manner. Kind of few bits, few stop and start bits there in the match. I think it was the right decision for Naomi to win because, Stratton. I mean, I think I did say, well, Stratton's going to challenge Bayley after WrestleMania, and I think she will do at some point. But maybe that'll be a Backlash, or maybe that'll be, a Clash at the Castle or another event. Or maybe she'll become the Queen of the Ring. What do you think, Kenny? Maybe Tiffany Stratton will become Queen of the Ring. That's a possibility,
Yeah,
isn't it?
it's a possibility. I mean, one thing that she did that I don't expect everyone to pick up on, but because I'm a gay man, I sort of, it's in my brain. You know, there's that the movie from 1996, Clueless, with Alicia Silverstone back in the day. Like, Tiffany Stratton's gear is inspired by one of the outfits in that movie. So she's got like a unique style to her that I think if she was given the Queen of the Ring moniker and she had to come out in Saudi, I think she could come up with some pretty inventive, fully clothed thing, you know, because I mean, at least we're past the era of the big oversized t-shirts, thank God. But I think she could do something quite fun with that. In terms of her being Queen of the Ring, I mean, unfortunately, Queen and King of the Ring, they don't really mean anything and they don't really do anything with them. So, you know, I mean, again, I think we've said this for years about things like that, about, you know, just give the winner a title shot. It's easy. It's, you know, Brock Lesnar, when he won King of the Ring 2002, got a title shot at SummerSlam. It just makes all the sense in the world. So I think she's definitely a favorite for that.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it would have been too soon for Tiffany Stratton to face Bayley next week and then lose. Or sorry, this Friday and then lose, because I mean it's inconceivable that Bayley's going to lose the belt to Naomi this Friday. So I mean Naomi's like, an easy win for Bayley, or hopefully, competitive win. I was saying, oh, Naomi's got to join the Bloodline. Well, now Jimmy's been booted from the Bloodline. It's just as well she didn't join, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's imagine if she had joined it and then she all of a sudden was in it without her husband, in it without her. I mean, but then, you know, some people have said there might be like a kind of a, you know, NWO Wolfpack thing happening. So maybe she will eventually join the babyface version that has the Usos and Roman, which actually might probably be a better fit for her in terms of her kind of character. But I think she actually did pretty well here in this match with Tiffany because I know we've been kind of critical of her in the ring, and I'm not saying this was like, you know, watch out Rhea and Becky, but it was a step in the right direction. So at least there's that.
It was okay. I mean, Tiffany Stratton's really good, and like she just knows how to put a match together. There's just some hesitation here that you don't normally see in a Stratton match. And sometimes, you watch people and you think, well, if they're really that good, if they're really as good as they say they are, or people say they are, would that be happening in nearly every match? And the answer is no. But yeah, I thought the match was respectable. And I think Naomi, in hindsight, was the right person to win.
Yeah, agreed. Well, let's move on to Raw. So on Raw, lots of stuff happened, but the big news was the opening segment, which was news that had been broken about an hour before Raw from PW Insider that Rhea Ripley had injured herself in the brawl last week with Liv Morgan. It's a partial torn, oh, what is it? Partial torn patella or something? I'll find the exact injury, but
Well, Patella's
no, it's
knee.
not patella. It's a sprained AC joint is what she's
All
got.
right. Okay. All
Sprained.
right. Yeah. I believe it was from the chair because Liv hurled a chair at her and it really nailed her. And Rhea totally sold it. And like she was just like there in a heap on the floor. It's like, wow, what a pasting. And
Yeah.
apparently, yeah, from what we understand, Liv really injured her with the chair, which was, obviously very unfortunate at best and incredibly reckless at worst.
Yeah, I mean, I think people have been kind of saying that it's, you know, that it's kind of a fluke thing rather than it being something where it's like, you know, Liv Morgan's been really reckless. So at least there's that. I mean, so Rhea comes out here, does the thing where she kind of relinquishes the belt. I did hear some chatter online about how this can be about a 3 month recovery from this kind of injury. So. And then we have Liv Morgan come out. They basically, to me, it looked like they did a double turn here, because Rhea was just so over as a babyface, and then Liv came out sort of cackling that she'd done it, and we saw them, people's security separating them, and Rhea headbutts one of the security. Actually, I think this is going to be a really good thing for Rhea because it's a short enough amount of time that I don't think people are going to forget about the run, and it's a long enough time that I think it's going to build some sort of anticipation for her coming back. The worst time of year tends to be this time of year, right? Right after WrestleMania, we're all a bit exhausted, and you kind of, a lot of people tend to maybe not watch as much stuff the next couple of months.
Yeah.
So she comes back, and as we get to, maybe say she's back for Money in the Bank in early July. That's a great time to be back for Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, all the big shows. So I think this is going to be good for Rhea. Obviously, it's not good it's happened, but I think the silver lining to it is, I think long term for her career, I think it's going to be really good for how over she is, because I think people are going to, just be clamoring for her to come back when she does.
Yeah, I agree. And also, she can do. I mean, maybe the Judgment Day are going to turn face, although, given the behavior later on the show, they didn't. They look anything like faces or anything like a team that are about to turn face. Maybe there's going to be like a split because Damian Priest kind of was almost acting a little bit like a baby face later on the show when Judgment Day were beating down Jey Uso. So maybe something like that's going to happen. I'm not really sure, but yeah, I agree. And she said, yeah, she's going to be out for quite a few months due to Liv Morgan, and she was really upset about having to vacate the belt. But at least it happened after WrestleMania. Can you imagine if this had happened before WrestleMania?
I
My
know.
God, there would have been some tears, wouldn't there?
I
So,
know.
and this is a good, you don't want to say, oh, well done to anyone who's injured someone else in wrestling, whether it's obviously wasn't deliberate. But I mean, this could potentially be very good for Liv Morgan as well. And I
Well,
think,
undoubtedly, it's going to be good for
yeah.
her, because before, when she was a baby face, could we really, with any certainty, say she stood a chance of being in a top position when you've got Rhea, who's almost a babyface, Becky Lynch? Like, she was always going to be under the radar, whereas now
Yeah.
she can be put in a top position. Maybe she's going to feud with Becky now in the interim. I think this is great for Liv.
Yeah, definitely. And I think since she's returned, she does seem, I mean, they gave her the belt in 2022. She wasn't ready for it. It was a big flop. She was totally in over her head in that role. And she lost the belt and then they tried to come up with this new character for her. It was somebody who was almost like this, someone who enjoyed pain, and that didn't get over. She suffered the injury, came back, suffered, I believe, another injury. Then, she returned. Was it Royal Rumble she returned? I think it was, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Royal Rumble. I thought she had a good night there. I thought she did well in Elimination Chamber. And she hasn't really done a whole lot since, done some stuff with Nia Jax, but she seems a lot more confident and sure of herself in her character now than she did, certainly in 2022 and even 2023. So I think she's ready for the title this time. And she's got that great built-in story with Rhea. Saying that she's going to be coming for blood when she returns. So, yeah, this is a great spot for Liv, because of, unforeseen events. But that's what happens in wrestling, isn't it? But the CM Punk thing, if he hadn't suffered the injury at Royal Rumble, WrestleMania would have looked very different. Drew McIntyre may well have already have left WWE when you think about it. He wouldn't be in the position he's in right now.
Yeah, I think it's a similar position to that stuff you're talking about, because by CM Punk getting injured, obviously it sucked for him to be injured, but I don't think he really lost anything out of it. If anything, he's just as big a star as he would have been if he'd stuck around.
Oh,
And then,
absolutely, yeah, because he can do the other stuff, can't he?
other people were over, like you said, like Drew by default. And I think with this one, similarly, Rhea's not going to lose in because people are going to love her, but then Liv's going to get elevated. So in the good out of the bad situation is that, it's not a long amount of time. It's like 12 weeks or so. And Rhea's been doing this a long time. Take a break, have some fun, just enjoy the fruits of your labor a little bit, and then, come back later in the summer and smash it again. I'm sure she will.
Exactly. She'd go out and buy herself a new house.
And also, if you're Judgment Day, you're thinking, I mean, I'm not saying they did have any plans that Judgment Day are breaking up imminently, but if they were, that's not going to happen until Rhea's back, because you're not doing any of that stuff without her. She's
No.
the glue that keeps it together. So, yeah, obviously, we wish her the best. And I think that
Good
the.
luck with the house hunt.
Yeah, good luck with the house hunt. Sheamus returned on Raw to face Ivar, and he returned with his old theme song. And I'm going to try and say this as delicately as I can. Sheamus did not look as lean here as he did the last time we saw him.
No, that's a very polite way of putting it, isn't it?
I also think that maybe it's the shorts that he was wearing. Maybe they are not playing ball with him, but he looked
What
like
you're
he enjoyed
saying,
his time.
Kenny, is his bum looked big in them, right?
His bum looked like that was it. That's all it was. And he actually commented today, did Seamus. What was it he said? Oh, he had a funny tweet actually about it, because obviously people had been commenting, and he ended up saying, "I'm just big boned," was today's tweet. So.
I mean, he looked pretty knackered by the end of the match. I mean, this was his first match since August 18th in the match with Edge.
Yes.
So, you can train and all that, but until you're in the ring and you've got the pressure and everything, it's like, I'm sure he'll get himself back in tip-top shape in the space of, a few weeks. This happened to Montez Ford last year. I remember bringing this up, and that guy looks tremendous again. It doesn't take these people long because they're in there 6 days a week grafting. So yeah,
Also, if you're on TV and you're getting feedback, that's also going to be a pretty good catalyst to be like, okay, I get it. I need to, put a little bit more grind in to just make it what the best it can be.
yeah, absolutely. So he beat Ivar and Michael Cole said that Ivar had made his debut as a member of the Viking Experience in that building 5 years earlier. The Viking Experience. That was a short-lived gimmick, wasn't it? So, Ivar hit a splash on Sheamus. Sheamus kicked out of that, and Sheamus won with the brogue after he'd hit this knee. And yeah, Sheamus looked. He looked pretty knackered afterwards, but also I think relieved that his comeback had gone fairly well. And he basically grabbed Pat McAfee and Michael Cole afterwards, who both seem a little bit taken aback that he did that. I think the adrenaline was going, Kenny.
Yes, and that's the excuse. But I mean, in terms of in the ring, Sheamus, obviously, it's like you said, it's his first match since August, so it's not going to be peak Sheamus, but it wasn't a bad performance by any stretch.
No. The crowd were totally behind him and people were really pleased to see him, and that was really the main thing.
And he's got the song back. He's wanted that song back for years, so good for him that he managed to get it through.
Yeah, and they mentioned that Ivar had turned up in NXT last week and he was wearing. Now, I feel like I'm imagining this, Kenny, but I'm sure Ivar was wearing jeans when he was on NXT last week, and I was thinking, a Viking in jeans, I'm sorry, but that's not consistent with the character.
A bridge too far, bad continuity. Let's move on to Triple H came out and unveiled new Raw tag team titles. They're being renamed the World Tag Team Titles, which is actually what they used to be called on Raw.
Yes.
The belts are better. They're still a bit gaudy, but they're miles better than the big pennies that they used to have for the Raw and SmackDown belts. And
Yeah.
we had a rare misstep of R-Truth comedy here, where they tried to banter with Triple H, and it just didn't seem to click as well as it usually does. But.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was okay. I think they were out there just a little bit too long. I mean, Paul Levesque should have recognized that it wasn't. I mean, people were, I think, were entertained by it, but I think they just did too many jokes and it was the same joke repeated. And like they were kind of, I wouldn't say flogging a dead horse, but they kind of worn the joke out. And eventually Levesque just did leave, took the old belts with him. This World Tag Team Champions, that's brand neutral. Like what they did with the women's belts last year, which absolutely made sense because now it doesn't matter, where they end up. It's not, it's the belts are not dependent on the name of the brand. There's no connection there, or these work on whether it's SmackDown or Raw. These titles, championships, belts will work on whichever brand they end up on. So Triple H left with the old ones. Then they wrapped it up and said, right, we're going to have a triple threat match now between DIY, Creed Brothers, and New Day to name the first challengers to Miz and R-Truth's new championship.
Yeah, I think the best way to describe this segment was it was like if a comedian had a 3 minute set, he had to do it over 10 was the problem. But DIY ended up becoming the new contenders. They won a triple threat match. I just tell you what, Triple H loves a triple threat match right now, doesn't he? Got two on
Oh, hell yeah.
SmackDown. Got them here. It's like don't Tony Khan tournament us here. You know, let's chill it on the triple threats.
Well, exactly. I'm just actually not far off finishing my intro for the next yearbook and just been writing about the famous ECW three-way dance on April 8th, 1995. And just remark that the actual triple threat concept, the three-way dance, was back then a draw in itself. How times change.
Indeed, indeed. But DIY are the new contenders. They won a triple threat over the New Day and the Creeds. But
Penny, we should mention, can I just stop you? Yeah, there was a QR code that flashed on the screen at one point. Did you notice that?
I did, and I've watched the video that appears, and it appears to be a Wyatt family, Uncle Howdy-esque situation
Right,
that
yeah.
has happened. So, but yeah, they're putting it all across the show at various points. So, you know, we'll see what it is. We'll see if it's any good. We also had on the show Cody Rhodes coming out again. He ended up, you know, he was just soaking in all the cheers from Montreal. He ended up talking about The Rock, talking about, you know, he was confused by what happened on SmackDown with Tama Tonga, but Roman Reigns is nowhere to be found. He brings it Jey Uso, and Cody talks about how happy he was that Jey is the number one contender for the world title. And that took us into Jey Uso and Finn Balor. Balor's there to face off for Judgment Day, and Jey Uso gets the win in just under 7 minutes. Then we get a face off with Damian and Jay before the Judgment Day come in to kind of try and take out Jay, but he manages to get a dodge. What did you make of that whole scenario? Cody putting Jay over, Jay beating Finn, and the face off with Damian.
Well, I just want to see Cody Rhodes on one show right now. And the same also goes for Piper Niven and Chelsea Green. Why are they on both brands, Kenny? I mean, is there this like outpouring of demand for Piper and Chelsea Green to be on both SmackDown and Raw? I don't think there is.
I think we're in this weird place where until the draft happens, we're kind of stuck with various people being on everything, which, I mean, I think Cody will be better when he's on one show because I think to put one person on every show is a tough sell,
Yeah,
especially
and
when they're not, you know, it's not like he's in feuds on both shows. So he's got to kind of.
exactly, and it kind of overshadows what Damian Priest is trying to do, because he's the champion of Raw as far as I know, and Cody's the champion of SmackDown as far as I know. I mean, Roman Reigns seldom appeared on Raw when he was champion, did he? I mean, it did happen, but very, very infrequently.
Well,
So.
hopefully now they're going to make it that, you know, Cody is the WWE champion, Damian is the world champion. They are the two, you know, heavyweight champs, rather than it being one is so much higher than the other. Because then it becomes, oh, what's the point in having the second one?
Exactly. And you know, Damian Priest is somebody who, I mean, they did a really an inspirational video on Damian Priest. He mentioned that he'd been homeless like a decade ago. And you know, I always thought Priest was totally in over his head when he joined WWE, entered NXT. I didn't think he was going to make it. And you know, he obviously has improved so much as a wrestler and as a character as well. And it's like that thing in wrestling, if you work with good people and you have, you know, an ability to improve, and obviously some people in wrestling never get any better, but lots do. And Damian Priest is living proof of that. If you are surrounded by good trainers and good talent who you can learn from and improve, then you will also become a really good piece of talent. So, you know, here's a guy who's, you know, really, you know, become a star and amazingly world champion as well, and at WrestleMania, even though it was obviously under unusual circumstances. And he was presented here as the new leader of Judgment Day, wasn't he? He was telling Dominic, you need to get out there and beat Andrade. JD, you need to help him out. You need to have his back. And they're right, we're fired up. And then he's telling Finn Balor what to do. And previously, Balor and Priest were pretty much equals. But now Priest, because he's champ, he's definitely the boss. And obviously, Rhea's, injured. So she's going to be off TV for at least 2 months. So, that was really quite inspirational. But getting back to the question about Cody, yeah, I mean, it was okay. He brought up the Tama Tonga thing and, mentioned that Roman Reigns was nowhere to be seen. That was something that he really emphasized, didn't he? That Tama Tonga was there on SmackDown, but Roman Reigns wasn't. And why was this? Was there a reason for this? It wasn't just Roman Reigns being a part-timer. It was Roman Reigns not privy to Tama Tonga's entry to the Bloodline and what was going on there. So they furthered that storyline a little bit there. But Jay beat Finn Balor, which was obviously the right outcome. And he did so decisively, of course, because Jay's going to face Damian Priest at Backlash. So, I mean, it all made sense, didn't it? And, Cody was there, basically to, offer some, support to Jay, wasn't he, before the
Yeah,
match?
exactly. I do have to give credit to something before we talk about the main event. I watched the show today, and I'd heard about, this camera shot that's just like outstanding. And I was like, okay, I'm waiting for it. And then so Jay leaves to get away from the Judgment Day, and then he goes up through the crowd, and the camera follows him right to when he's about to get to the top of the sort of the concourse, and then another camera picks him up. And he walks through the sort of the concourse of the arena, walks to an area outside of where fans can go. He does push this fan out of the way, which is very funny because this fan wouldn't get out the shot. Which quite right, he should have shoved them. Stupid fans! Like, if you're involved in that kind of thing, high five the wrestler, but play the game.
Yeah.
Play the game of what this is. Don't try and get in the shot
Yeah,
and
yeah.
just be
You're
a.
not part of the show, right? He is. Give him some space.
Yeah, like the thing is, and I know you hate the M word, right? Everybody is a mark for wrestling in some form, right? In terms of how they, covering it, watching it, whatever it is, to some extent. But don't be that kind of one. Like, just get a grip. Anyway, so he leaves that area and he goes outside and he sees Sami Zayn looking up, and Sami Zayn says, 25 years ago, I came to my first wrestling show and I came and it was here. And I want, and I'm coming back as champion, and I want to go in the building the way I used to come in. And I got goosebumps when he was doing it. Very rarely does that happen to me watching wrestling, but it was so sort of felt so real. And then he walks through. He says, says to camera, Montreal, if you want to see the best wrestling city in the world, follow me. And he goes through the concourse, and he goes down the through the goes down into the arena. He's on the stairs. He's looking at all the fans surrounding him. He goes down. Goes right around the whole arena. And the camera shots at some point weren't perfect, but they were trying to follow where he was going. And I mean, it was just an epic piece of production on that whole thing. And when you watch it, you kind of think that if you watch that whole segment, to me, that's the sign of how behind the times they were under Vince and Kevin Dunn, because we would never have got that.
Oh, exactly. Kevin does well. No, it's going to be too choppy. It's unprofessional. It's bush league. No, we can't have that here. We're high production values. Everything has to look perfect. We can't have something looking a little bit second rate. And it didn't look second rate. It was just kind of raw, wasn't it? And it was like, well, we're doing this because it's different. And yeah, it was. I don't think they've ever done that before. I mean, they might have done at some point, but I can't recall them ever doing that. And I imagine that maybe they're all big fans of Goodfellas. The famous scene where Henry Hill goes in through the restaurant, and
Maybe.
obviously, that was really smooth because it was movie and no doubt been rehearsed numerous times. And but that was all done in one take as well, famously, wasn't it, in the movie? If you've seen the movie, ever seen that film, Kenny?
I have, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I mean, but that was a but it was kind of like they were trying to recreate that only in a arena setting. And I thought it set up the match so well. And I'm sure, it was a thrill for Sami Zayn and for the fans as well, many of whom were obviously there to see him.
Yeah, the thing about it is the whole and the Jay Sammy thing is so good because that's been such a great the Jay and Sammy friendship is a better storyline than the Jay and Jimmy feud. They've given that so much time and made sure that it's constantly brought up. And I could see a scenario where later this year, if there is a sort of Bloodline War Games thing in November, and the Usos and Roman need a partner, I could see it being Sami Zayn. Like, I could see him being brought back into that again because they've just done such a good job at kind of making Sami seem like a part of it. So, really good stuff. Which brings us to the main event, Sami Zayn and Chad Gable for the IC title. You know, it's pretty much we're getting told here this is Chad Gable's last chance.
Yeah.
And he fought this match like it was his last chance. And it was 17 minutes. It was gritty. It was raw, pardon the pun. And the key thing for me is the way I watch wrestling anyway, and is that every time somebody did something, even if they got up to do something else, they were still selling somewhat what had just happened to them. And
Yeah.
that's what gets me more hooked in a match. And it was great. It was really, really sort of exciting to watch. And in the end, Sammy gets the Huluva kick, falls over, grabs his ankle, covers Chad Gable, and wins. And then post-match, Chad raises his hand, and then Sammy goes to hug his wife, and he is German suplex from behind by Chad Gable, the big heel turn, and Chad just beats the crap out of him. And then we go off the air with Chad Gable on the top rope, ankle locking Sammy through the ring post as his wife watches on. I mean, what an ending for him.
This is what we wanted, Kenny. We hoped that this would be the outcome of this match, or rather the post-match outcome to the outcome of this match. And it was. And yeah, I felt like Chad could have actually beaten him up pretty, more, to be honest with you. He could have inflicted a tougher, more savage beating upon him. But I mean, I think it worked. I think it was effective, and people were upset. And that was, what the purpose of this was. So it was undoubtedly mission accomplished. And yeah, the right move for Chad. Obviously, Sammy couldn't lose the belt in Montreal. Can you imagine if he'd lost again in Montreal, Kenny? That sellout streak would have come to an end, wouldn't it, here?
Oh yeah, but that again another reason we're in a new era, right? They can still do this thing they want to do, which is have Chad fuck him over in Montreal, but still give him the win. It was great.
Exactly. And really, this match was more about the post-match angle and the heel turn than the outcome. And but Sammy can bring that up, because this is no doubt going to lead to a rematch. I like the fact as well, earlier in the show, Chad was seen training with the Creed brothers for the match, and I really hope the Creeds do the heel turn and join Chad Gable, because they're going nowhere as faces, and those guys are so talented and have got so much potential, and it's not being maximized at the moment. So they need to do the heel turn and go with Chad. I mean, it's a shame for Otis. Tozawa's going to be in trouble. I'm not sure what those two guys are going to do. But to me, you can't have a serious Chad Gable, a serious heel with Otis and Akira Tozawa, can you?
Yeah, exactly. So,
So, you've got to look at the bigger picture here. And Chad as a heel with the Creeds, that's a main event trio, isn't it?
yeah, and I think initially you can kind of think, oh, Chad is a heel. Is he going to be able to go far with that? But I think when you add in the idea of maybe the Creeds, that could elevate them. And I think that it's kind of similar to, if you remember, like Kurt Angle when he was wrestling, that he had his kind of comedy heel run, and then he had his I'm a killer, and this could be Chad Gable's killer run rather than the comedy stuff. Because obviously the whole Alpha Academy thing was a heel run initially before it turned. So yeah, I think there's a lot of potential here, and I think that the way they did it by having Chad lose out in the WrestleMania match and then see and then train Sammy to win, and then Sammy beats him. It all gives you lots of material for Chad to be really pissed off, and which is going to be good stuff for us to. And they've rehabbed Sami Zayn. Chad Gable, I think, is a big part of that. But I mean, they really have gotten back, maybe not even to where he was last March, but they've definitely gotten way closer to that than he was even a month ago.
I mean, the thing is, that was always going to be a peak last year, wasn't it? It was going to be a peak, and it was not, he couldn't, people, oh, he should have beaten Roman Reigns. No, I mean, we talked about this at the time, that would have been the wrong decision for every reason other than short-termism on the night and a cheap pop. But it would have ended up, undoing or sabotaging or devaluing what the end game was, which we obviously saw at WrestleMania last weekend. So the weekend before last, rather. So I mean, it's it was the right idea. It was the right move for Zayn to do what he did in 2023, and he got his reward at WrestleMania this year, and rightly so. And you know, this is a good move for Chad. And I think it's, you know, we wanted big things for Chad Gable for so long, haven't we? And I really hope that it pays off this time.
Same. Well, listen, that's all the time we've got for now. We'll be back on Thursday. Lots to discuss. We've got a really good question from one of our listeners about brother versus brother feuds. We're going to try and talk about the Bray Wyatt doc if we get a chance. Various things we're going to try and do on Thursday. So do check it out then. I want to thank you for all your support, as always, and we'll talk to you soon.